Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope you are having a great day. Turn it up, O.
Wonderful time of the year.
It really is. Now, what's crazy is these temps are kind of crazy.
Hey, this is freaking great. This is why we moved here. This is why you live here.
These temps are a little crazy. Look, Christmas time, I'd like it a little bit chilly.
No freaking way, Jose.
No snow. No, not 35 or below.
Do you see this chest hair? I had the shirt open today. Like I was driving like Tom Jones today with the top down on the Batmobile. It was 76 degrees in the connector.
A little bit too much, but not going to complain because tomorrow it's going to be very similar and everybody will be out and kids will be playing with their new stuff, hopefully.
I have one word for you.
What's that?
Four.
Yeah, on Christmas?
Hell yeah.
Nah, I'm not doing that.
Watch me.
Not on Christmas. Bro.
Watch
not
me.
Not on Christmas. I will say this, though. I'll take this over snow and sleet and all the other stuff. But with that said, it is the best time of the year and we hope that you're having a good holiday as your holidays get underway and certainly wishing you and your family and a great new year, man, as well. We'll be back next week. We're not off. We are coming back Monday, and we got a lot to chop up as we get ready for the Dogs taking on Ole Miss, Mike, and these college football playoff games because, look, to me, this is going to be where it gets, you know, the rubber meets the road, man. We're going to find out what's what, and whoever gets to advance, Mike, we get to those semi-games, and if Georgia happens to advance, you're one game away from being, right, for another chance to potentially play in a national title game, and I just didn't think that Georgia would be there if we started, you know, going back to September, even into October. But win after big win for Gunnar Stockton and the way that he's played in these big games, including the Ole Miss game where he had to bring them back, he's proven a lot. I have all the faith in Gunnar now to get every play, you know, the plays that he needs to get done and make those plays that he needs to.
Well, I mean, I don't think I've ever had a season that Mike Bobo going all the way back to his time with Mark Richt where I've been less critical of Mike Bobo than this season. You know, and his son. I mean, I joked around with Carl yesterday. We had some folks, you know, popping off on social media. Bobo's kid's a lineman, nepo baby. And it turns out he's one of the best centers in the SEC, if not the country. And you're concerned about him moving forward, although he did a hell of a job in the SEC championship to back up. So I love what Bobo has done. I do think at times he does forget about Zach Branch. I don't know how that happens, but that's my only real criticism, Carl. And then you look at Gunnar Stockton from the fourth down throw in Knoxville against the Vols. Delivering the goods against Texas to, you know, what he did in the SEC championship. The only game where Gunnar looked like crap was Georgia Tech. And I think they shut it down. Kind of, you know, anything that was aggressive halfway through the game anyway.
No, I agree with that. This is going to be a fun time next week. So we're back Monday, Tuesday, getting you ready for the new year. And then, obviously, as we slide into 2026, it's going to be an amazing year, not only for this show, but also for 92.9 The Game. And we're wishing you the best.
Hey thanks, man. I'm sorry to cut you off. Thanks to everybody you mentioned to start the show at Metro Bottle yesterday.
Yep.
We say it all the time. We got the best listeners in town. People, stop bringing us stuff. I mean, literally, we come home with like two suitcases full of gear from shirts and food. And we got the nicest, most loyal listeners in all of Atlanta, and we can't do without you. As Carl says all the time, without you, there is no us. But it was so great meeting some new friends and seeing some old friends at Metro Bottle on yesterday's show.
Yeah, and the Duck Bourbon folks were pretty happy.
Right on.
So
we moved some product, Joe.
We did. And rightfully so. It's pretty good bourbon, man. You got to check it out. And again, great price point. All right. With that said, let's talk some Dogs. Before I let you hear what Kirby said about preparing for a team for the second time in Ole Miss, Bueller on Twitter hit us up. And I just want to read this, Mike, because he was talking about, you know, Kirby yesterday was his birthday. So we were discussing Kirby and what he means to Georgia and you know, since he's got there. He says, quote, as an Alabama fan since 1985, this is Bueller on Twitter. Bueller. He says, I'd trade three championships for Kirby. No, not only is he a great coach and recruiter, but he's going to do the best to make your son a man. And that's Bueller talking on Twitter about Kirby as we discussed, you know, what he means to Georgia yesterday. And look, I'm not going to say that he's underrated by any stretch of the imagination. I think anybody around college football understands what he means and what he's meant to college football and certainly Georgia's football program. But for a guy who's been an Alabama fan, Mike, and has experienced championships and had great coaching, he's talking about trading Kirby for that opportunity to have a guy in place like this that's so stable. And I don't know if he's saying I trade DeBoer. Maybe he is. But you know what? DeBoer has a chance, Mike, to you know, cash in on some of this and make Alabama fans believe in him a little bit more throughout this playoff run if they're able to get, you know, through this next game. But I don't disagree with him. I think the part at the end where he says he does his best to make your son a man, all these guys we talked to that have left Georgia that played for Kirby, that's the thing that stands out.
Right. I mean, we talked about it after the draft this last spring when we had Jalen Walker. First time we had a chance to be face-to-face with Jalen Walker. It's like, this guy, he sounds like he just walked out of a boardroom. You know, he's so impressive. I mean, he's got, I mean, the gravitas of like a veteran. You know, you think he's a guy who's been playing in the NFL for 5 or 6 years. And that's the kind of stuff that you get. And look, it doesn't work out for everybody. Carson Beck had his own thing. And I understand he maybe felt that, and maybe Kirby did kind of show him the way out. Mm-hmm. And maybe that was the right move in hindsight. But for the most part, guys come in and they get better, and they go to the pros. And the last guy that was able to do that consistently was Nick Saban. And there's other guys that have tenure around college football, but they're not winning at the level that Kirby is, you know? I mean, who is it at Iowa? You know, you got these guys, Kirk Ferentz. Okay, great. Never wins anything. You know, might win 10 games, and great, you know, score 10 points a game. But Kirby's competing for championships every year. So he, when he came here, has delivered the goods. He has exported the Nick Saban business model with his own slant on it. And now he basically comes off and gives his profundities, as he's apt to do, about what's wrong with college football or puts the message out there about why you should be at Georgia and why Georgia, in his estimation, is doing it right.
Yeah. Let's hear Kirby talk about prepping for playing for you know, a second time and prepping for a team that you've already seen this season in Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think as we talked about with Alabama, it's really overrated in terms of rematches and things like that. I think it's, you know, how you play defines what the outcome of the game is. You know, your ability to be explosive, not turn the ball over, win situational football, you know, the middle eight. There's all kinds of things in that thing that figure it out, and it really has very little to do with the time before you played them. I mean, everybody's going to watch the time before you played them because you got to look at the matchups. But, you know, I don't think either team is exactly the same. Both teams have evolved some. You know, everybody will have new wrinkles. That's what you do during this time.
Yeah, he's right. You're not going to run the same game plan out there that you did in the first game, which means that game is meaningless because you are going to do some different things. What you're hoping to see is something that you can exploit that you didn't in the first matchup. Outside of that, Mike, where you go, that defensive tackle right there, look how he's playing. If they do that again, how can we exploit? Outside of that, the game is meaningless. Just because you were able to come back and beat them on your home turf has nothing to do with what's going to happen at the Sugar Bowl next week. But here's the thing. Will Georgia get off to a better start? Will they get the stops early in this game that they didn't get to maybe limit Ole Miss and how potent that offense was early on, where, Mike, it looked like Georgia was going to get run out of their own building?
No, we talked about, you know, Ole Miss and the way that, you know, they were just zip, zip, zip right down the field. And then Georgia has come back with better defensive play from, who's it? Who's got the turf tour? No, Gabe Harris.
Yes, right.
Gabe Harris, they're talking about it in Dog Nation today. Connor Riley wrote the article. 4 tackles for loss since the Texas game. That's just part of everybody kind of amping up and ramping up. And I got to be honest, you know, I said what I said about Bobo earlier. I wasn't really enamored with Schumann. I thought maybe Schumann is a weak link. And then, boy, has he coached his ass off, right, with this team.
Yes.
And those players. So you look at how do you approach it differently? I mean, are they going to be a little more aggressive, or just simply, you know, are they going to play zone? Are they going to be blitzing more? You going to play more man to man against these more press coverage? How does in the rematch? What new wrinkle to your point are you throwing out?
You got to respect Chambliss. I don't think you can go into this game and say he won't make those throws or he won't make that play, but I also think, Mike, maybe you do put a little bit more pressure on him by maybe playing a little bit more man and saying, yeah, make those throws. Show us. Mm-hmm. Because we feel like we can get pressure on you without bringing extra guys. I am curious to see this cat and mouse game because, again, the entire staff outside of Lane Kiffin offensively is still there. What do they do differently to attack Georgia? Here's Kirby talking about the importance of having this time off, by the way, that they have had, and we're still counting down. The game is not until next Thursday.
Yeah, I think it's been good. You have to make it a positive by how you handle it. The positive is the mental practice you get, the recovery you get, the extra lifts you get. You know, the negative is, you know, when you're playing good football, a lot of times you want to keep playing. You want to stay in rhythm. You want to stay in a weekly schedule, and that schedule gets thrown off by the break because, you know, we had players taking final exams. We gave the players more time off in terms of before they came back and it really started grinding. You know, you do the best you can with the calendar you have. You try to talk to other people and find out what the best way to do things is. But I'm excited about where our team is. I'm excited that they're practicing the way they are and are excited about the opponent because they have so much respect for the team we have to play.
And we'll talk more about it next week. I mentioned this to Carl on Monday. They call him Princely, but Princely Oman Milan is the defensive end who missed the Georgia game in Athens. He had a sack in every SEC game except for the game against Arkansas. He's got 8 on the year. And so that's just another dude that they'll have to worry about for Gunner, just to protect Gunner from that guy coming up next week.
Yeah, he is a dude. There's no doubt. Hey, as we talk about what else is going on around college football, you may or may not have heard this story. We were talking about it amongst ourselves. Former Georgia pass rusher Damon Wilson II is suing the Dogs in response to a lawsuit they filed against him last month. In essence, guys, he's saying, I signed and they owed me a certain amount of money and I didn't get it and I want it, even though I'm not there. And I said to Day-Day and O, like, this is an unbelievable precedent if, in fact, he wins this this lawsuit. But, you know, again, it's the lawsuit is in response to what they filed against him last month saying, we don't owe you jack. You knew exactly what you were doing, what you were getting. Mike, this is a crazy part of what NIL is about.
I was telling Damian, I mean, you know, the Mizzou lawyer, whoever lawyered up for Mizzou, like they're flexing, like they got a countersuit against. Look, it's pretty simple. It'll go in front of a judge, and if it's in black and white that if you breach the contract and leave, you owe the balance of the money, that's it. Then he loses, and Georgia wins. And, oh, by the way, since we've crossed over into not semi-pro but professional college ball, these are contracts, and you signed it, and you didn't honor it, and there is a clause that says you owe the balance of the – you got to – whatever's left on the deal, if you leave Georgia, you got to give it back. If that's in black and white, then Missouri can pose all they want and countersue all they want. They're not going
to
win.
Yeah. What do you think? You got to add something to this?
Yeah, there was rumblings when this kid transferred the year before last that – when he was looking for NIL money, there was a dollar amount attached to whatever he was asking for, and that was to possibly pay off the buyout that was going to be due to UGA.
There you go.
So Ohio State, for example, maybe wanted him, but once they found out what the price was, they were like, yeah, we're not going to pay you that much more to come here. Well, Missouri maybe was like, hey, all right, we'll do what you want to do defensively. We'll give you that money, and then maybe we'll give you the money on top of it too. So that's also the rumbling about, like, he was shopping himself out and that buyout money to whatever school he was going to afterwards.
Damon Wilson had 9 sacks this year for Missouri. But again, it's unlike that Bear What's-His-Face who left for USC who never turned into anything.
Bear Alexander
who left. I couldn't remember his last name. This guy's actually a pretty good player. But and if memory serves, it was his dad played alongside the position coach who was over there at Missouri, and that was part of the deal.
Yep.
But again, if it's in black and white, Joe, you're going to lose. And if other teams, Orange Point, got scared off because of basically a buyout, not that complicated.
We're going to see where it goes. We'll keep an eye out on it. Coming up, Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, will join us. What do they hope to learn or see in these final two games? We'll talk to Wes about his opinion about what he's seeing, and also we'll get his thoughts on these college football playoff games. That's coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Glad to have you here on Christmas Eve. Maybe you're running some last-minute errands, or maybe you're still shopping. Either way, thank you for tuning in.
Could you imagine being at like Walmart or Sam's or Costco right now?
No. But I know there are people who are out and about, maybe getting their last-minute prep for their meals and whatnot. Wes Durham is here. Wes, are you done with whatever shopping or things that you need to get done with? How soon were you done with that? Weeks ago?
Hey, Mike, by the way, I was at Walmart about 90 minutes ago.
How insane was it?
Pretty close. It was almost DEFCON 1. Right. It was, I mean, I went to the one in Ackworth, and there was, I felt like I parked in Smyrna. So, there you go. But outside of that, no, it's great. People are, for the most part, you know what? A lot of people are in a decent holiday spirit, which I appreciate. I appreciate the fact folks are being courteous to one another. A lot of thank yous, excuse me's, Merry Christmas, you know, that type thing.
No bad juju on the road today. I also experienced. Everybody was doing their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. How you guys doing? All right?
Good, yeah, man. Good. We're doing great. We had Coach on today. For those who missed that, we'll replay that for you in the 5 o'clock hour. Ra was on with us, as well as Bijan Robinson, who's has had an amazing year. I want to start there because we asked him how frustrated it's been, frustrating it's been. He was like, I own it. Yeah, we haven't accomplished the goals, but at the same time, we want to finish strong. You've been doing it a long time, Wes. You've been calling a lot of games. You've seen a lot of NFL stars.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Where is he at? Where is he at right now in his career?
Well, just look where the neighborhood he's living. That's to me, you want to look at the franchise neighborhood he's living in. I mean, we said it last Sunday in Arizona. I mean, he's basically doing something only two other people in franchise history have done. And William Andrews did it twice, and Jamal Anderson did it once in the year they went to the Super Bowl in 98. So he's living in that world, okay? And when you get to William Andrews and Jamal Anderson's sensational 98 campaign, and for those of us that were in the market, I mean, that guy was amazing that one year. And, look, for me, and I told you guys this, I think, in August. He's the face of the franchise to me, and that's no disrespect to anybody else. But you look at him as a whole person. He is the face of this franchise. And Drake's had a phenomenal year as well, and we've had great defensive stars emerge, especially the young guys. And that's all of that builds into it. But for me, seven is the guy. And so I look at that particular situation with the team, Carl. But to your point, we're getting to a neighborhood in the league – where it's like Christian McCaffrey and nobody else except Bijan.
Right.
And I think we have to understand that is – and, again, I understand the running back cycle in the National Football League. I understand it better than most because I see it happen at the collegiate level. They come in the league, and then you start to say, well, just how long can this go? Well, in his third year, he's tilting the axis in his favor as to what he can be in this league. And I'm betting on him. If you want to, how long can it go? I'm betting on him. You tell me, well, he may only get two more. I'm betting on him to extend it because I think he's that kind of person. And I think he's that kind of competitor. And I'm excited about seeing the way he finishes this season. And I'm more excited to see how he responds in 26 too.
And the thing, Wes, we've seen it because, there was injuries and all of a sudden the market got devalued. Now it's back up. And we saw what Jahmyr Gibbs means to the Lions, but you got to use him the right way. You can't Saquon Barkley guy into the ground. That's why the Algier thing I hate to lose Algier, but I think the right team, I think he could be a poor man's Michael Turner.
Well, and that's, I think we talked about that last week, right? The LT-Michael Turner combination that was in San Diego at the time, and then we were the beneficiary of Turner in the free agent pool of 08. And we had Ryan and Turner in the same kind of – Matt was drafted, Michael was signed in the free agent deal.
Wes? Oh, we dropped off. Okay, there you go. You dropped off for a second. Go ahead, continue.
That's all right. Right. I said I don't disagree with what Mike is saying, and I look at how you've got to build this thing. And again, only Terry and Raheem and, the guys that are involved in player personnel can sit there and say, okay, where is our point of release on these guys. And you've got to do it. And here's the thing. You're going to have to do it with Drake and Bijan almost in consecutive years.
Right.
You might get away with some of this, but then how do you compensate for maybe if Algier takes a free agent deal somewhere? Or, you know, we talked about Kyle a little bit last week. Same thing's going to apply on defense, too. I mean, that's going to come around here. But I think those are the elements that you everybody faces those. The other 31 teams have the same questions. The other part about this is who do you feel like you're developing who's already on the roster to keep that cycle strong? You know, I look at the guys in the offensive line. I mean, Jake is, to me, a phenomenal it's just the Matthews family genetics that are kicking in for this guy. I mean, he's going to get 200-and-some starts in the league probably before he shuts it down. And I look at how Bergeron and Lindstrom have played in the last couple of years. Lindstrom going to another Pro Bowl. I think Bergeron will go to a Pro Bowl. Mm. I talked to his college coach the other night when we were in Arizona, and he's like, you know what? That kid played all five positions when he played for me, and now look what he's done when he settled in at guard. I mean, Lindstrom is a terrific guard. Matthew Bergeron's a rising star at that position, I think, as well.
Right.
It is Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons guys, joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, some guy talk. We'll get back into Raw and what he had to say as we talk about the Rams matchup on Monday night.
Ooh.
Let's talk about the Rams because I said to Raw, you know, that Puka Nacua guy is pretty unstoppable.
Pretty
and Raw said nobody's been able to stop him since he got in the league. I mean, I don't even know what the plan's going to be to try to limit him on Monday night because he's just torched everybody.
Yeah, I like the way Raheem handles it because he doesn't want to call Matthew Stafford by name, which I think is hilarious. If I get a chance to talk to Stafford, I can't wait to walk up and go, so you're Project X, huh? Weapon X.
Yeah.
I just see where Tyron Williams to me, and you get focused on Nacua and you get focused on, you know, when Devontae Adams is healthy and you look at who they do. You know, the things they get done in the receiving game, and Blake Corum has had moments, Carl. I mean, come on, really?
Yeah, I know.
And these guys have bounced back nicely, but the guy at 37 years of age who's in season 17, I mean, he's the weapon here. And I get why Raheem calls him Weapon X, because Stafford can fill it up and fill it up quick. He's like those hot wing shooters in the NBA. You know, he hits three, and next thing you know, he's hit 11 of them. And that's the thing that scares me. If Mike Hughes can't play, how do you game that defensively? Puka's going to probably get his. They've got an eraser on the perimeter and Tutu Atwell. It's really going to be interesting to see how Atlanta lines up. It's almost, you're going to laugh at this, it's kind of like, I was thinking on a flight in from Dallas this morning, it's almost like Atlanta's going to have to try and run the ball in order to slow the game down on the Rams, right? If you run the ball, and by the way, they're 12th defending the run in the league, but if you can run it in some ways, doesn't that constitute your ability to just kind of measure the possession count a little bit, force them to kind of speed up their process, panic a little bit, if you will, feel uncomfortable when they have the ball.
Right.
And if Atlanta can get something good going, that's a positive for them. And I'll go back to Mike's point, combination of the two backs here. What does that mean? Can you get stuff rolling that way? And if so, that would be a huge boost on Monday night.
Yeah, I picked up that Parkinson tight end, and he decided to take last week off and kill me in my fantasy league. But this guy's got 6 touchdowns. That's another dude in the red zone you got to account for. Wes Durham is with us, guys. And you know, we talk so much about Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker, we just mentioned. He's doing some stuff today with the community, yesterday, I should say, giving some folks some Christmas gifts. We'll talk about that in Guy Talk. But how about Brandon Dorlus coming into his own and just being a beast? And all of a sudden now, you know, whether Raheem is here or not, somebody's going to have a hell of a defense to work with next year.
Well, let me ask you this. How many snaps did Brandon Dorlus play last year? Carl, you got any idea? You want to give me an over-under?
I don't remember, but I think it was under 20.
It was over 20.
50.
Mike?
I'm going to – because, you know, both guys got hurt.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. Did you play like 3 games last year? So, yeah.
Carl, you hit the second number. The dead number is 50.
Okay.
He played 50 snaps all of last
year. Okay, so there you go.
And he's.
I mean, it's almost like we got him on a red shirt when you think about it.
We haven't even seen Braylon Trice yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's correct. You haven't seen Braylon Trice. Braylon Trice got hurt in the Miami game when DeMarco Helms did. Remember that?
Right.
2 years ago, the preseason game?
Right.
Trice got hurt that night. We haven't seen him. And so, you know, look, I think Brandon Dorlus is a great product of the industry, so to speak. He's bought his time. He's come in here and made plays. I think it's also helped, too, that this has become, as we said earlier, a collaborative project. I think Pearson, Walker, Diablo, Onyemata, you know, playing well in his 10th year. Aurora starting to step forward a little bit. He and Dorlus, if you want to know the truth, I think Rook and Brandon are kind of where the future of this thing is. You just look at it from a year standpoint, an investment standpoint. Pierce, Walker, Dorlus, Aurora, perhaps Diablo. I mean, Ellis is 7th year. Jesse Bates is now 8 years in. You feel good there. Terrell, 6. Mike Hughes is 8. But, I mean, the defense, when I say a young defense, you don't see any double-figure guys in this thing. I mean, this is a group that you can grow with. And, you know, I'm pretty excited about – now, this is a big challenge Monday night because this crowd sprays it around and runs it around. So it'll be interesting to see how they react to it. But I think it's going to get really curious here. I'm encouraged by what we've seen defensively and the playmaking they've had for sure. But Dorlus is – he's a great story and one of stick-to-itiveness and things like that that I think is to be admired as well.
What are you thinking about the college football playoff? Who's impressed you? What do you think how this thing's going to turn out here as we get ready for next week?
The teams coming off the bye they've got to have a goal here, and that's to win a game. That ought to be the number one goal because last year not one of the four teams off the bye won. So that's something to think about. If you're talking about who built momentum last week, I'd put Alabama and Miami at the top of that list. I think both those teams, there were questions about what they would be when they got to the stage, and they answered them. I thought both played very, very well on the road. You know, we went last year, guys, where the home teams just smoked the road teams, right, in those opening round games. And for Alabama to come from 17-0 down and for Miami to win a street fight at Kyle Field last Saturday at noon showed me that, you know, maybe there's some different kind of moxie involved in this. I think the best of the quarterfinals might be Oregon, Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl.
Right.
I really do. I think that's new money against newer money. I'm probably biased because I'm doing the game on radio for ESPN. But I just looking at that game on paper, you just see players everywhere. And you have a lot of unknown because, quite frankly, Texas Tech has never been to this kind of stage. You want to have fun, the old school game. I think Alabama, Indiana going to the Rose Bowl is going to be phenomenal. Georgia, I think Georgia's got to be a heavy favorite. I just do. I think they played well all the way through here. It's going to be really interesting to see Gunnar Stockton now with the full tank in that environment at New Orleans as opposed to last year. I think Alabama is going to be interesting, as I said. I think the Miami game with Ohio State, that's a lot of pressure on Ohio State, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've answered the bell, but coming off the Big Ten championship game, how do they handle that? I think that'll be a really interesting question. And that bye week can be weird, but Ohio State played as the, you know, that opening round game a year ago against Tennessee where they smoked them, and they just kept the vibe going. That kind of feels like we're going to see if one of those teams that won last weekend can keep the vibe going and get the upset in this quarterfinal round for sure.
It's going to be interesting. Wes, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and your family.
You guys too.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for being a part of the show, man, and helping us in our success, man.
Yeah, you guys taking what? Couple weeks off, Carl. I mean, I know you've been working hard since you were in Europe for a month.
Around the world in
80 days.
I'm working. I'm here, and I want to see what's going to play out, not only in the college football playoff, but want to see what happens Monday, man. But this is going to be an interesting few weeks here.
Monday night will be fun. I hope it's as good an environment as we had for the Buffalo game. That was a fun night.
It was.
And I'm hoping with people home and around for the holidays, I'm hoping we get a great crowd on Monday night. It'd be great to see.
All right, man. Great stuff, Wes. We'll talk soon.
Take care, guys.
You too.
Be well. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. All right, that's Wes Durham, the voice of our Falcons. Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, DK Metcalf, he appealed the NFL suspension, and they said pound sand. And now the guy that he slapped, or you know whatever he did, you know, grabbed him by the scruff, and now he's getting a lawyer, Carl.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
here we go.
And
here we go.
And have you seen the numbers involved? What he can potentially lose salary-wise, DK Metcalf?
It's millions, right?
Yeah, we'll get into that. So Brooks Koepka is leaving LIV Golf. But does the PGA want him back? We'll tell you about that, too. Mm. In a fun, it's not as dark as those two stories, more fun, coming to fun, a bowl where you get to eat beans. It's all coming up in Guy Talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcast.
Where to play is play. Hey, man, I mentioned this to Carl earlier. Hats off to Jalen Walker and all the Falcons. And again, Hawks do it, Braves do it, everybody gets involved in the community. But to D-Led from the AJC, thanks, Mike and Carl. He shared a photo from our man, Jalen Walker, outside helping pack cars with gifts, food bags, holiday essentials for 140 families at Rehoboth Baptist Church in Tucker, which is cool to see. And again, you know, we always talk about guys when something bad happens, but, you know, there's stuff that happens every week. These guys are doing good stuff in the community.
Yeah, and this time of year, people need it, and they want some hope. And certainly, you know, Jalen's given a lot of people that opportunity. I love to see this, man. And look, you say it, Mike. We don't know how many of these guys do things like this. They don't ask for the recognition. It just, you know, Falcons put it out there that their players are helping. Right. And it's real cool. It's cool to see them give back.
Hey, man. He also does a coat drive up in his native Salisbury, North Carolina. They just did that. So some good stuff. All right, man, the bowl games. We talked about it earlier. First things, if you're a degenerate gambler, get help. But if you are betting on some of these college games, the only ones you can really have any inkling of trying to handicap are the ones that matter. Those are the playoff games. I'm sorry, Steak. And that's the thing that happens and why when Notre Dame says, we're taking our ball and leaving. You know, Notre Dame's got a lot of issues. I'm screwing USC over. I mean, those guys are such snobs. But anyway, the bowl games that are not the big ones have become irrelevant. Yes. Yeah. Practice for, again, the idea was a coach like Kirby would say, I'm going to get another 3 weeks of practice, which is huge for next season. But then, you know, when you turn over a third to a half of your roster, what does it matter? You know, those guys are all gone. You know, unless you've got an entire team of early signees graduating high school early and coming in, you're not getting any boost from it. So all we got now is how the celebrations become gimmicky. So the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Who really wants to play football, sweat for 60 minutes, and be covered in mayonnaise? Not me. Now, the one yesterday that was kind of funny was the Bush's Beans Boca Bowl. It's a hell of an alliteration, man. Did you see this one? Where Louisville, who won the game, the two teams that played, they get to basically eat a giant trophy filled with, by the time they get it on the field, one would imagine room temperature Bush's baked beans.
I would guess.
Right. And needless to say, Barstool Sports and a lot of other folks said, man, could you imagine what that team plane is going to smell like on the way home? You remember, have you seen Blazing Saddles? Damn, son, light a match. they're around the campfire, Slim Pickens and all those guys, and it just... Richard Pryor wrote that with Mel Brooks, by the way. That scene, that was one of Richard Pryor's. You can look it up. Anywho, so enjoy and congratulations, Louisville, for winning the Bush's Baked Beans Boca Bowl.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be around any of those cats at that point. Yeah. But you know what, man? I'll say this. These gimmicks that you're talking about.
And it's cute. Like the Pop-Tarts won the text about the plane. That's funny.
Yes. And that's what I was going to say. I think some of this is, you know, you're trying to just keep some attention to what's going on. But, Mike, it used to be about the game itself, and now it is more about what happens after the game.
Right. Hey, man, Brooks Koepka.
So funny.
Announced. And, by the way, we're both, you know, I'm in my 50s now. I mean, fart noises are still funny. You got a kid in the car right now, people driving through. It still makes people laugh. It's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
And that scene that you're talking about in Blazing Saddles is hilarious. It's funny as hell.
What was the, because we love Tropic Thunder. And so they have the Jack Black character, is kind of a play on Eddie Murphy doing, like, you know, the fat suit
yep.
role.
Yep.
You know, the clumps and all that. And so
the fatties.
And that's the fatties. Word.
That's exactly. Right.
And they kind of get, you get the idea. Have you seen Tropic Thunder, Day-Day? Thank you. I watched last night. I was telling Carl. We're talking about a cinema. Carl got to see the new Avatar movie. And Carl was kind of like, you said, I'm to put words in your mouth. You said, yeah, it was nothing special. A little bit long.
Well,
the trailer was the best part in the beginning. Yes,
I did say that. Look, and I'm an Avatar fan. I said this to Mike. You know, when the first one came out, I was like 09 or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think I purchased it. I loved it. It was so different. And the visuals in this are unbelievable, too, because we did it in 3D. But,
right.
Yeah, I just – different plot, same movie. That was my issue. But if you're going to go do it for the holidays, boys and girls, right. Enjoy yourself. I know you're looking for something to do for 3 hours and 17 minutes.
Hey, man. Now, I didn't get to see this one when it came out in the theaters. I love Paul Thomas Anderson movies. I think he's one of the best directors around today. And I finally got to see One Battle After Another last night.
Okay.
And I was watching that, and that is Leonardo DiCaprio – And the young actress that plays his daughter, is, I mean, she's 25. She plays a teenager in the movie. Unbelievable. Sean Penn may get an Oscar nod as a supporting actor. I don't want to give away the plot if you've seen it, because it's a Thomas Pynchon novel that he's basically kind of flipped some of the things in the script. And that Thomas Pynchon is an acquired taste, but Paul Thomas Anderson loves it. Anyway, watched it last night. It's great. And DiCaprio, it's kind of fun to see DiCaprio just playing a complete screw-up. I mean, he's playing basically it's just a knucklehead schlub, and it's funny.
I will say this. He's done a really good job of picking his movies, man.
Really has.
Fiercely. Yeah. Like, you talk about his line of movies, and you go through his selection. Right. Like, he's done a really good job. And Mike, these are the things, like, he's challenged himself in ways in these movies where I think some other actors have just stayed in their lane. He's gone out of the norm of what you think he should be doing. But I have not seen it yet, but I know people were talking about it when it first came out.
We were just talking, because Carl and I, we're big fans, you know, big movie fans of cinema. And we were just talking off the air the other day, because I follow like half a dozen sites on Twitter, which, you know, they throw little factoids about the movies. Like, Scorsese did this, or some director was going to do that. But anyway, they were talking about, you know, the scene in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood when DiCaprio flubs his line while he's doing the TV series Lancer. He's playing
the
bad guy.
That's right.
And he comes, he goes, "You couldn't stop drinking last night. You had to make a damn fool of yourself." Apparently, he improvised the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I just read that the other night. And that's a great scene in Netflix. So anyway.
A movie I thought he should have won something for was The Revenant.
Yeah. Well, didn't he not win the best?
I don't think he won Best Actor for that. I think he may have been up for it, but I thought that role was unbelievable. I think it came out like 2014-ish, somewhere around there. But that movie.
Yeah, he won. He won the Oscar in 16 for The Revenant.
He did win it.
Yeah, he won it.
Okay. Was it supporting or best actor?
No, he's the show.
Yeah, beat his ass, Carl. He should have won something.
I didn't think he won that. I love that movie.
Yeah, it was best actor.
I didn't realize that. I love that movie. That movie to me might be his best work.
Nominated for The Aviator, which again was amazing, played Howard Hughes.
Blood Diamond
that's
was great.
The movie, because I told you I played rugby with a bunch of dudes from South Africa, and I know the accent, and so just the way the mannerisms and everything. And I loved Blood Diamond. That was the first one I really became a big DiCaprio fan. Wolf of Wall Street, What's Eating Gilbert Grape. Those are all of his nominations, but wins for The Revenant.
And people talked about Killer of the Flower Moon. That came out, I think, a couple of years ago. It's long.
It was like 7 hours long. It's long,
but he was great in it. I mean, like, again, I'm just pointing out that his movies are he's done a great job of selecting the movies he's been in.
But anyway, if you hadn't seen it yet, I know it's a long, I mean, again, you're at home, you can pause it, you can eat dinner, come back and watch. But I really did like One Battle After Another. Hey, man, so Brooks Koepka, he announces that he's leaving LIV Golf. LIV Golf does a press release and he's out. So how does the PGA feel? Brooks Koepka, this guy's a major winner.
How do they feel?
Well, here's a quote, and you tell me.
Wow.
From the PGA. Brooks Koepka is a highly accomplished professional, and we wish him and his family continued success. The PGA Tour continues to offer the best professional golfers the most competitive, challenging, and lucrative environment in which to pursue greatness.
That doesn't sound like they're welcoming him back with open arms.
He better bend the knee.
And that's what folks are saying now on Twitter. Remarks got some fans baffled, pondering, do they really want this guy back? You know, because it suspended all the players who defected to LIV.
Wow.
One guy says, this says nothing. Are you allowing him back? This guy's won 4 majors. Are you not bringing him back? You'd think that would mean something. He has been absolute hot garbage since going to LIV Golf. He went with some injuries.
He just took the check.
The story was he lost weight to look good for the Sports Illustrated bodies issue. Then he never got his game back. These are all these stories floating around about Koepka. Either way, you'd think that's still a brand. Well, there you go. That's a lukewarm response. I dare say, if Bryson DeChambeau announced he's leaving LIV Golf, you'd think you'd get the same kind of room temperature response from PGA? They'd welcome him back with open arms.
In a heartbeat.
Because, he's the show.
Yes, because he's gotten bigger, believe it or not, since leaving with the following that he has and how interested people are.
The only guy who hasn't had his image tarnished by jumping to LIV Golf. Just want you, if anything, you just miss him, want more of him every time you see him in a major.
Yeah, I just, you know, again, even if he won 12 tournaments on LIV, I'd never know. That's my thing.
You and me both. All right, man. We know what happened to DK Metcalf. Fan apparently was working him and working him. He played the race card, said the fan said a racial epithet. Detroit Lions did their own investigation. NFL's investigated. Nobody heard this fan say anything racial.
Yeah.
Now, was he yelling and being a jerk? Well, you got a right to be a jerk to a point in an NFL game. But the NFL, looking now at the fan and the code of conduct, the team found no violation, does not plan any action against the fan, who's known now as Ryan Kennedy. The NFL is doing their own follow-up with the team after hearing from DK Metcalf. But if there was something racial, which might have said, okay, if he said something, one of the words you can't say, maybe all bets are off. NFL didn't see it that way because they uphold the two-game suspension, and now you're cutting into his guaranteed money in his contract.
It's a lot, right?
He's going to lose $500,000 now, but now they're saying there's a clause that voids the remaining money on his contract.
Wow.
With the Steelers, which is huge.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot. And Mike, I think he just signed, it was $100-some-odd million, $130 million deal, I think it was, with the Steelers.
Right.
That's a lot, man, to be suspended for those two games. And by the way, he's missing those game checks too, right?
Correct.
On top of that.
He faces a potential void of a $45 million in future guarantees, according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, meaning the Steelers don't owe him that money if he's cut or injured. He can still earn it if he plays, so we'll see where this goes. But there's a clause. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, and there was a video I saw last night, or a report. You know, you can't really tell, but apparently this fan, you see him go back to his seat, raise his hand, and say, that was the goal, folks.
To get hit. Because guess what? That guy has lawyered up.
He said that?
If you watch the video, you can't hear it clearly, but he does say something, raises his hand in the air like this, like, yeah, I got the mission accomplished.
According to Barstool, that's part of it, which, again, if he gets in court, well, hey, you came down with an intention to basically get sucker punched and try to work a professional athlete. Guys, it's funny. It's easy to say it, and it's harder to practice it, but yeah, a guy who's making 45 mil, you got a lot more to lose than some idiot running his mouth in the stands.
Yeah, you got to leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
You got to leave it alone. Yeah. And I know it's hard because these guys, they get tested. And,
right. But again, I hope this guy gets nothing if they got that. Somebody, they can find somebody with video on that. So if it was a money grab, screw you, pal. That's jive.
I agree.
Yeah, that's a violation of man law. And that's guy talk.
Bad look, if that's the case. Hey, hope you're having a great day on this Christmas Eve. We're coming back. We got Coach Ra in the 5 o'clock hour, but we're taking your phone calls.
If you didn't get in, question for the audience.
Well, if you didn't get in the first hour, we had some great phone calls. We've been taking them all day long. What do you, as an Atlanta sports fan, want for Christmas? Meaning, from your sports teams, what do you want? Whether you want a new quarterback, new coach, you want our team to play defense, as in the Hawks. We haven't even brought up the Braves. There have been other folks on our text line who have and said, hey, you know what I want from the Braves? That's what we're talking about. 404-726-0929. Coach Ron, what he told us about getting ready for the Rams and what they're doing. And also more on what's going on as the Hawks lose last night, 126-123. Talk about defense. There was none. Especially at the end of the game. Yeah, and then Mike brings up the fact that the refs reviewed this thing.
The NBA has added insult to injury.
All right, stay there. We'll get to all of that and more coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.